Christians are to petition the Lord with humility and gratitude, recognizing how truly blessed we are. On today's broadcast titled, As God Has Purposed, So Shall It Stand, recorded December 8th, year 2024, in Wilson, North Carolina, Bishop Omega delivers a sermon which emphasizes everything that happens is in accord with God's will. The principal text is found in the book of 1 Kings, 1st chapter.
I want to continue today with our blessed word of God. As I said before, the Lord tells us to look at these Old Testament scriptures, not just for the narrative, as I say constantly, but as Romans 15:4 and other scriptures tell us, that the Old Testament is there for our learning. So we're going to see today that there's a good plenty of things to be taken from this particular text today. By the way, it's 1 Corinthians 10:11, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, which tells us about the Word of God, meaning the Old Testament, being there for us to learn from, to admonish us, to correct us, to tell us what we shouldn't do, to give us hope. This is the reason we go to the Old Testament scriptures, not just to, because you can go read it on your own and see what happened in a particular story. But what we get out of this today, I've divided into six sections. So I hope you will get from it what I did. And I was really edified and I was enlightened to see what's in this story. But before we get to that, I want to read Isaiah 14:24, because it reflects today's title. As the Lord has purposed. You know the rest of that, don't you? Man can plan all he wants. In fact, there's another scripture that says, man plans and God says, ha, ha, ha. You know that scripture, right? Man plans and God laughs at your plans. Meaning, you can have all the ideas of doing something, but whatever the Lord has purposed, that is what is going to last. That's what's going to stand. Let's give you scripture to give some background for where the title it comes from today, although that's not the main, the Isaiah is not the main text today, but this is what the thought is. As God has purposed, so it shall stand. Isaiah reads 14:24
by Isaiah. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand.
If God has thought about it, he wants it to happen, it's going to happen. If his purpose is going to happen. And Isaiah 14:27 reads,
for the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it?
So when God has purposed something, no one can annul it. No one can undo it. That is relevant because of today's sermon and today's theme and topic. And let's also give them Daniel 2:21. And this is very relevant for today. Daniel 2:21 reads,
and he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding.
All I wanted you to glean from that, I should say the most important thing, is that God is the one who puts people in power. Now, having said all of that, we're going to cover today, we're in 1 Kings, and David is growing old. He's having circulatory problems. He can't keep warm. He's about to die. And David has many sons, many children. He has at least 21 sons who are named or that we know of, including the one that passed by Bathsheba, the first one. But then David had many more sons that aren't named. Today, we're dealing with David's fourth son, because knowing the old man is on his deathbed, knowing he's about to die, and Adonijah, the fourth son, exalts himself and says, well, before dad even passes, I'm going to take over and be king. Now, the reason I read Isaiah is because God already said who's going to be king, and God, the scripture says, when God has purposed it, no one can annul it. Adonijah had other thoughts. Adonijah said, I can annul it. I'll do what I want to do. So, and the reason he's fourth son in line, because David's first son, Amnon, got killed by Absalom's plot because Amnon raped Tamar, his half-sister. And then Kileab, one of David's second son, probably died in childhood because nothing is mentioned after mentioned that he was born. So he's probably died as a youth. So the fourth, and then Absalom, of course, got killed, you know, by his hair hanging in the tree. So down to the fourth son, he's saying, well, I'm next in line, so I should be king. Well, he did realize it, and we're going to get to that too. He did know that God said it shall be Absalom. But he wanted to annul what God said. He wanted to unpurpose what God had purposed. So he wanted to change things to suit his own selfish benefit. But when God has spoken something, and it shall stand, you're never going to undo what it is God has allowed. Even if it looks like you did undo something that was planned, believe me, if it happens, God allowed it and God already planned it. So we have here a situation where Adonijah didn't want to wait or didn't want to go by what God planned, but wanted to do things his way. And just so, let me jump ahead a little bit here, minister, and go to 1 Kings 2. I'm going out of order a little bit here. 2:15. Now, the reason I said Adonijah was usurping here, exalting himself, because someone would say, well, maybe he didn't know that God said Solomon, his younger brother, would be king. Oh, yes, he did know, and he admitted it. So let me jump a little bit ahead here and show you this. Then he said, this is Adonijah talking. Then he said, you know that the kingdom was mine, and all Israel has set their expectations on me. Meaning, since I'm the fourth in line, all of Israel knows I should be the next king after David dies, because Amnon, the firstborn, is dead. Kileab probably died in childhood. We hear no more about him. Absalom was killed with his hair hanging in the tree. And so that puts, he's saying, all Israel's expecting me to be. But watch this. He says, all Israel has their expectation on me that I should reign. However, the kingdom has been turned over and has become my brother's, for it was from the Lord. Did you see that? So a clear confession that he knew that God said Solomon should be king. But being selfish, being self-willed, being somewhat arrogant and haughty, and ignoring what God said, trying to force his will on Israel, on the people of God, and trying to force a coup. And don't forget, David's still living. So there is a king. The only one that can make a co-regent with him is David. David didn't do that with Adonijah. He's going to do it with Solomon. I'm saying all that to say, Solomon, when we get to the story, Adonijah knew all along he was usurping authority, trying to undo what God had already said. He just said, it is from the Lord. Now I ask one petition of you, he goes on to say to Bathsheba. We'll get to that another time, perhaps next week. Now here's what happens. We're going to see what happens when someone is going to ignore what God has ordained and try to do things their way. It never works out. Before we get to those actual details, let's give you some background here. I'll begin with verse 1 of 1 Kings, the first chapter. And we're going to cover some details I'm going to be delicate about, but you have to understand the custom of that day. And this is not ordaining that just because you're cold and can't get warm, you can go get some young virgin and sit in bed with you. It's not ordaining that, but it's in the Bible. And I want to establish this too. The first century historian, the Jewish historian Josephus, confirms that was a common custom. And the second century Greek physician, Jalen, that is J-A-L-E-N, also confirms this was a common custom in that region, that when someone could not keep warm, no matter how many clothes and coverings they put on you, couldn't, you have circulatory problems, couldn't keep warm, they would put a young lady, she's probably a teenager, but David made her part of his harem, they would put her in bed to get him warm, but nothing happened in an intimate way. So, we're going to begin with verse 1.
Now, King David was old and stricken in years.
70 years old. So, David was stricken in years. He's advanced in years.
And they covered him with cloths.
They put clothes, covers on him.
But he got no heat.
Circulatory problems. So, he just couldn't get warm. No matter, when you get sick sometimes, you just can't get warm. You have a flu or something. Well, David had the circulatory problem where he just could not get warm. So
wherefore his servant said unto him,
some of the royal staff that took care of him said,
let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her
stand before him, that is to say, take care of him,
and cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom,
that means in his embrace,
that thy lord the king may get heat.
The staff said, let the most beautiful girl be sought for the king to keep him warm.
Wherefore his servant said unto him, let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat.
And you may know, may or may not know this, that David had a harem. David had many wives. Not all of them are named, but David had many wives, and some were his main wives, and then some were the concubines. This girl becomes like a concubine, though David never knew her.
Amen.
But anyone that was in the king's harem became part of anyone that was became either a wife or one of his concubines. So, but David had many. Now, I know the Lord said for kings of Israel to have one, but the Lord allowed this. He did not approve it as such, but he allowed it.
Amen.
There are a lot of things you do that the Lord allows, but he doesn't approve, but he didn't strike you with lightning, did he? So verse 3.
So they sought for a fair damsel.
Fair damsel means a beautiful young woman.
Yes, throughout all of the coast of
Israel. No, I want you to stress that for a minute. Now, the Lord put this in the word. So they sought for a young, beautiful woman.
Throughout all the coast of Israel, and found Abishag, a Shunammite.
She's from the town of Shunem, from the tribe of Issachar. That's where they found a girl called Abishag, most likely a teenager, yes?
And brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair.
Now see, that's old English for she was extremely beautiful.
Verse 4, and the damsel was very fair and cherished the king.
And she cared for him.
And ministered to him.
So she was a nurse, if you will, but she technically was one of his concubines, now in his harem. But she also cared for him, so she was a nursemaid, if you will.
But the king knew her not.
There was nothing intimate. We're starting here now. That was the background, right? David's old, circulatory problems, and when got him a young girl to keep him warm, but nothing happened between them in an intimate way. But that was the custom of that region in that time. It was done commonly. So she laid with him and in some way probably made him a little warmer. Now we get to this segment where pride, I call this section, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Now, why do I say that? Because now we get to Adonijah, David's fourth son, who in his ambition to be king and knowing he's next in line chronologically, because Kileab, the second son, is probably dead in childhood because we hear nothing about him. Amnon, we know, died at the hand or the conspiracy of his brother Absalom for revenge for his sister's rape. And then Absalom died with his head hanging in the trees, caught on the trees. So now we're down to Adonijah. And Adonijah conceives in his heart, then it's time for me to be king. And here's where we get to pride being your destruction.
Proverbs chapter 16 at verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and in haughty spirit before a fall.
When haughty, puffed up, conceited, arrogant, I think I should be king. Now, in the usual course of matters, yes, Adonijah would have been next in line to be king. But God has spoken already.
That's right.
And see why I read to you this chapter where Adonijah admits it is from the Lord. That it was given to his brother Solomon. But he wants to ignore that. I want you to keep that in mind.
For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God.
This is where God, the word of God is beautiful. He's going between talking about the human king of Babylon and his arrogance, but he also links it to Satan, who is the example of all arrogance. He is the first. I shall exalt myself above the stars of heaven, the other angels in heaven, and above the throne of God. He's looking at God's throne saying, I should be sitting in that throne. However a spirit sits in a throne, I don't know how that looks.
Yes.
But this is Satan. And God here in
Isaiah 14:13.
Yes. God brilliantly speaks to the king of Babylon in his arrogance and saying how much he's so much like Satan that he combines talking to Satan and talking to the human. Where did God do this before? In the Garden of Eden, when he physically cursed the physical serpent and then spiritually cursed Satan by saying, you shall bruise his heel, but he shall crush your head. But he was talking to the physical animal, the serpent, and yet speaking to the spiritual. So it was a physical curse and a spiritual curse. Carry on, please.
For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north.
Okay. Bottom line, avoid being arrogant. Keep your place does not mean you cannot aspire to be all you can in this life. But you don't presumptuously or by illegal method undo. You don't do anything against the law. Read, please.
Returning now to 1 Kings 1:5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king.
By the way, Haggith is one of David's wives. Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself. Do you see the idiom, the language there? So he exalted himself. Doesn't the Bible tell us, wait till God exalts you? Humble yourself, wait till God exalts you? Lessons we can glean, lessons we can learn from the Old Testament. Don't exalt yourself. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself.
Yes, saying, I will be king.
Meaning he thought to himself, I'm going to be king. Now here he did the same mistake Absalom made, his older brother Absalom. What he's doing here, read on please. I will be king.
And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him.
He raised a small army to try to force his way into the kingship. Same thing Absalom did. And he should have learned from his older brother Absalom how that turned out.
Yes, sir.
But here's what he's doing. He's making it look like he's already king by raising a small army. But chariots, kings had chariots and armies and 50 men running before you on foot with arms. So you look like you're royal. Maybe he is king. And all of Israel knows he is the fourth next in line. Right? Now look at verse 6. Verse 6 should be, in the classical King James, it is not in parentheses, but this is a parenthetical paragraph. It should be in parentheses because watch what he says here.
And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so?
This means, don't think he's talking about making himself king. This means all of Adonijah's life, David never corrected him. What is this teaching us now? A child without discipline is going to end up messed up.
That's true.
I want you to appreciate the English here. I'm reading the modern King James. And his father had not rebuked him at any time by saying, why do you do this or why do you do that? That's what that statement means. So here we see the results again as with Absalom. When David was a horrible parent, by the way. He has so many children. He's an awesome king, great man of God. But as a parent, he was not a great parent. But it's saying here that David never disciplined Adonijah. What does the Bible say about children that go undisciplined? The results aren't good. Let me put it another way. It says God always disciplines his own. And it says if he doesn't discipline you, you're not his child. But you know one thing God never does, which most, even Christians don't appreciate this? God, I'm talking about true believers now, true believers, God never punishes you. Oh, wait a minute now. How can that be? He allowed Satan to buffet. He allowed Satan to buffet Paul to keep him humble. That wasn't punishment. Even when he allows you to go through something, that's not punishment. That's teaching you. Even if it's correcting you, he's not punishing you. Now, let me tell you why he can't punish. He can't. Here's another thing God can't do. He can't punish believers. If he punishes believers, God's a liar. Because he said all believers had their punishment handled at the cross. He never, ever punishes true believers. He can't. Some of you don't understand that concept. He cannot punish. And the reason I said verse 6 should be parenthetical, listen to the next line.
And he also was a very goodly man.
Very good looking. Now, why did it say that? It's letting you know why he did his actions. Adonijah is very handsome. David has some handsome children. He himself was handsome. David, what the scripture is telling us here is David never corrected him. So he had, and then he had charm. He's handsome. He's probably very charming. Look at how he wooed himself into this, I should be king. People looked at him, oh, he is handsome. He's good looking. And David never corrected him, so he's arrogant. He raised a small army. The Bible says he's very good looking, and his mother bore him after Absalom, meaning, and he was fourth in line to the throne. All that said there in verse 6. Read all of 6 again.
And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he was also a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom.
Do you see those three facts? Those three facts may seem benign, or you may read right over them, but you got to pay attention why they're put in there. Because it's saying he was undisciplined by his father, very handsome, he probably used his charm, used to getting his way, and then he was fourth in line. He was after Absalom. So he was the next in natural succession to be king. Right? Now we get on to verse 7.
And he conferred with Joab.
He conspired. I love that beautiful word, conferred. He conspired with David's nephew, also David's top commander.
Yes.
Now, David's top commander is his nephew because he's the son of?
Jeruiah.
That's David's sister. Now, that doesn't say that there, but when you look it up, you'll find that's David's sister. So Joab is David's nephew. He goes and conspires with David's top general, who happens to be David's nephew. And he wants to, because he controls the army. So if you, listen, you know how this is. You control the army, you control the country, right? So he goes and conspires or confers with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest. Now, he was co-priest along with Zadok at the same time. There were two high priests at the same time. He goes to Abiathar, and Abiathar joins his conspiracy. Now, he knows he has to have a priest on his side. He needs some arms on his side, military. So he goes to Joab. He gets the priest.
And with Abiathar, the priest, and they following Adonijah helped him. Zadok, the priest, and Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada.
Some Americans say Zadok. The Eastern way would be Zadok, right? So, but Zadok, the priest, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. Benaiah is the head of David's personal bodyguard. We're going to see that in a minute, too. But these are the top two groups that were renowned for their bravery. Today, we would say David's top bodyguards, his official guards. He goes and gets the leader of them. Benaiah would not go with him, and Zadok would not go with him. But the leader of the army, Joab, went with him. Two different armed forces. You got the army of Israel. Joab's over that. David's private bodyguard wouldn't go with him. Wouldn't go without Adonijah. So neither would the co and head high priest. He was high priest at the same time with Abiathar. He got one priest, didn't get the other priest. He got one military head, didn't get the other military head to join him. Nor could he get Nathan the prophet, the most influential prophet during David's lifetime, was Nathan. Couldn't get him, nor could he get Shimei, nor could he get Ray. Now, Ray is only mentioned here because nothing else is much known about Ray, other than it shows he went with what God said, not with personal ambition. But he was an influential person. And the mighty men who belonged to David were not with Adonijah. The mighty men who belonged with David, that was David's personal bodyguard. Amen. These didn't join the conspiracy of Adonijah. And Adonijah, verse 9.
And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by En-Rogel. And called all his brethren, the king's sons, and
all of David's other sons,
and all the men of Judah,
all the men of the region of Judah,
the king's servants,
and a lot of the people who worked for David. Now, who did he not call?
But Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, and the mighty men, and Solomon his brother, he called not.
Now, let's translate that in modern English. He went and had his coronation. When you see he had to sacrifice sheep and oxen, he's having a big party, a coronation. I am king. I'm going to be king. So he invited all these to join him. But he invited David's his other brothers, David's other sons, but he did not invite Solomon, the one God said would be king. He did not invite Nathan, the prophet of God. He did not invite Benaiah, the head of David's personal bodyguard, nor the mighty men, David's bodyguard itself. He did not invite them. Read 10, please.
But Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and the mighty men and Solomon his brother he called not.
Now read again for memory's sake Isaiah 14:27, because I call this section "You can't outmaneuver God."
For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it?
If the Lord has purposed something, who's going to disannul it? Well, as we would say today, who's going to annul what God has already set up? Adonijah said, "I can," and he's about to see he can't. But he thinks he can outmaneuver God. Saints, what lesson are we getting from this? Don't ever try to outmaneuver what God has set in place. I mean, this just goes for your lesson in spiritual sense, in natural sense. Just don't try to undo what is lawfully done by the Lord. And we see here at verse 11, so Nathan, now this is God. Adonijah's already planning doing his conspiracy. Why does Nathan come in on the scene here now? Who do you think's behind this? Right. Bathsheba and Solomon's lives are now in jeopardy. So God intervenes by using Nathan to go to Bathsheba. You all know who Bathsheba is, the mother of Solomon, David's wife. And David already swore to her, "Your son, our son Solomon, shall be king. God wants this. I swear this to you." Yes?
Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, Hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign, and David, our Lord, knoweth it not?
Plain English. Have you heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, is the king, and your husband, David, doesn't know anything about this? Have you heard this? This is the prophet. Now, you know the scripture that says, Amos 3, that God does nothing without telling his prophet? Someone might say, well, how did Nathan know? Amos tells us God will always communicate his desires and his actions through his chosen prophets before he does anything. So in some way, he had Nathan to know this, that Adonijah is doing what he's doing. Adonijah goes to Bathsheba and says, do you know there's a conspiracy afoot here? And Adonijah's already made himself king? Are you aware of that, Bathsheba? Nothing is going to get a mother more riled up than to tell her somebody's trying to hurt one of her children. He knows he's going to get Bathsheba to get to action here now. Anyway, have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king, mother has made himself king? And your husband, he's saying, your husband David, our Lord, does not know this?
Verse 12.
Yes.
Now, therefore, come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel.
Nathan said, let me tell you what to do, how to handle this. Now, where do you think Nathan is getting his knowledge, his wisdom from? The Lord. This is nothing but the Lord at work and using Nathan. So Nathan goes to Bathsheba and alerts her as to what's going on. Yes.
Now, therefore, come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon.
Did you see what I'm saying? Yes, sir. He implied your life will be in jeopardy and Solomon's. What does that mean? Adonijah's going to have them both killed. Nathan is saying, here's how you save your life, ma'am, or your majesty, the queen. Yes?
Verse 13, go and get thee in unto King David, and say unto him, Didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thy handmaiden, saying, Assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne.
Now, you all remember how David loved Bathsheba, right? So Nathan's not stupid here. Nathan said, go in and say, my lord king, it was our husband, they were very formal. Didn't you say that my son would rule after you? Didn't you say that? Carry on.
Why then doth Adonijah reign? Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words.
Did you see that? He says, while you're in there talking to King David, I'm just going to pop up. This is Nathan. You can see the old prophet said, look, here's what you do. Go in there and tell your husband, didn't you say so-and-so? And while you're yet talking, I'm going to come in and say, what she's saying is right. Don't forget, David looks up to Nathan. This is the main prophet during his lifetime.
You are listening to a message titled, As God Has Purposed, So Shall It Stand, preached by His Eminence, Bishop Omega, from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, located at 701 South 22nd Street, Apostolic Square, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Please mail all correspondence to 701 South 22nd Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19146, or email your communication to preacher701@cljcoaf.org. To order sermons, CDs, and DVDs, visit our website at www.701recordsshop.com. We now rejoin this message.
Yes, go ahead.
Verse 15, and Bathsheba went in unto the king into the chamber. And the king was very old.
70 years old.
And Abishag the Shunammite ministered unto the king.
All that means is, while David was lying there in bed, Abishag, his newest concubine / nurse, caretaker, was also there.
Yes.
And Bathsheba came in and started talking to her husband and saying, haven't you heard this? And then the prophet Nathan shows up and says, yes, that's true, what she's saying, Amen. Your majesty. Yes.
And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king. And the king said, what wouldest thou?
Then the king said, what is your wish?
Yes. And she said unto him, my lord,
you swore by the Lord your God. Didn't you say to your maidservant, saying,
assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And now, behold.
And now, look.
Adonijah reigneth.
Adonijah has become king.
And now, my lord the king, thou knowest it not.
And she's saying, look, David, you don't even know it. But she's saying, my lord the king. And now, my lord the king, you don't even know this. Yes. Adonijah's assumed that he's sitting on, call himself king. Yes.
And he hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance.
And he's celebrating his coronation. He's having a big celebratory get together. That's what it means by slaying the oxen, sacrificing these animals. He's having a, you know, celebrating his coronation. I am king. Let's everyone eat, drink, and be merry. That's what he's doing, yes?
And hath called all the sons of kings.
He's called all the sons of the king.
And
Abiathar the priest.
And Joab, the captain of the host.
Joab, the commander of the army, or the top general. But Solomon, your servant, he is not invited.
Amen.
Yes, verse 20.
And thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne.
She said, and as for you, your majesty, everybody's waiting to hear what you have to say about this.
Yes.
Yes, all the eyes of Israel are upon you. Everyone's waiting to hear what you have to say about this. Do you approve of this, Adonijah, sitting on the throne? Didn't you say Solomon would reign after you? This is what she's saying to him, yes?
Amen. 21, otherwise it shall come to pass when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders.
You see what she's saying? Because if you don't do something about this, as soon as you go sleep with you, as soon as you pass on, as soon as you die, he's going to kill us. That's what she's saying. We'll be considered offenders, yes?
22, and lo, while she yet talked
and
with
the Nathan
king,
just true to his word, Nathan said, while you're talking, I'll walk in and back you up.
Yes.
So amen. While she's in the middle of talking, Nathan just pops up.
Amen.
Pre-planned. Mm-hmm. So Nathan comes in, and just then, while she was still speaking,
Nathan the prophet also came in. And they told the king, saying, behold, Nathan the prophet.
Do you see something subtle there? He didn't just burst in. He was announced. Because he's in there with his wife. He didn't just burst into the room. So one of David's servants said, your majesty, the prophet Nathan is here.
Yes.
But it was while she was still speaking. So while we're getting between verses 11 and where we are now, Nathan apparently announced me. Let the king know I'm here. I'd like to see him. Yes. So they said, your majesty, the prophet Nathan.
Yes.
And so he's announced, yes?
And when he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, my lord, O king, hast thou said Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? For he has gone down this day and hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the king's sons and the captains of hosts, and Abiathar the priest, and behold, they eat and drink before him, and say, God save King Adonijah.
I like the way Dathan puts this. He says, my lord, O king, have you said Adonijah shall reign after me and shall sit on my throne? He's asking a question, meaning, no, you didn't say that. You said Solomon, right? That's what he's saying. Have you said Adonijah shall sit on your throne? He says, look, because everybody's celebrating his coronation. That's what he's saying in plain English. Yes?
Verse 26, but me, even me, thy servant, and Zadok, the priest, and Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and thy servant Solomon, hath he not called?
He's saying, but me, even I, he's saying, me, your servant, nor Zadok the priest, nor Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, nor your servant Solomon, he hasn't invited us. Mm-hmm. Do you think he said that for a purpose? Of course he did, because David knows these that you just mentioned are really loyal to me, right? He says, he has invited us. Has this thing been done by my lord, the king, and you have not told your servant who should sit on the throne of my lord, the king, after him? In other words, haven't you already made this very clear? Amen. That Solomon is the one? But he's down there celebrating his coronation. Yes? Verse 28. Now we get to, David is on his deathbed, right? He's down, but he's not out. Yes. Then this reminds me of that scripture where Paul said, we're struck down, but not destroyed. Yes. So David said, wait, I still got one more. Read 2 Corinthians 4:9, please.
Persecuted.
I like the way scripture always applies itself. We're persecuted.
But not forsaken.
But not forsaken. And remember that, saints, when you're going through things. Persecuted, but the Lord is still with you. Carry on.
Cast down. But not destroyed.
Cast down, but not destroyed. David's cast down his bed with circulatory problems. Can't get warm. Well, not on his own. But he's down, but not out.
Amen.
And David's going to do something on that bed that'll take care of the situation. But I love this one. I just had to put that one in there. Struck down, but not destroyed. Amen. Then King David answered and said, call Bathsheba to me.
And she came into the king's.
Which means what? Wait a minute. Hold on. At some point, she went out. When Nathan was in there with him, apparently while she was yet talking, Nathan's like, I got this, ma'am. And we have to assume she stepped out because call Bathsheba to me means she had to come back into the room where David was. Amen. You see, these little things we got to pay attention to. And David, even Nathan was announced. He didn't just burst in.
Yes.
While the wife was in there. Hint, y'all getting this? All right now.
1 Kings 1:28. And then King David answered and said, call me Bathsheba. And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king sware and said, as the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress.
Understand something, and he swear before. David had already taken an oath and said this. He's making another oath to Bathsheba again. That's what David took.
And the king sware and said, as the Lord...
Swear and said. He took an oath. When it says swear and said, he's declaring before the Lord, this is my oath. As the Lord lives...
That hath redeemed my soul out of all distress.
Stop. Did you see David giving it up to God? As the Lord lives, the one that saved me when I was in trouble over and over and over again, he always takes it back to God. Just as I swore to you before, he's saying, by the Lord God of Israel, saying,
assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day.
I'm making another oath to you again this day as I did before. That's what he's saying. Wife, honey, sweetheart, whatever he called her, Bathsheba, he said, I swore to you once, let me tell you again, sweetheart. I'm saying that again today. I love that.
Verse 31, then Bathsheba bowed her face and did reverence to the king.
And paid homage to the king.
And said, let my lord King David live forever.
Isn't that something? That's a way of saying amen. Now she knew, everyone knew he's about to die. She just said, let my lord King David live forever. It's a way of honoring the king, paying him homage. Yes.
And the King David said, call me Zadok.
Now, this is important here. Call me Zadok.
The priest.
And Nathan the prophet. Why? Because when kings are anointed in ancient Israel, Samuel was both priest and prophet. What David just said, get me a priest and the prophet of God.
Amen.
Making sure this thing is legitimate. So if you have the prophet of his day, Nathan, Gad and Nathan, but Nathan was the prophet of David's day. He said, get the priest, Zadok, and Nathan the prophet.
And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada.
And get the head of my personal bodyguard. Mm, now, they were also there for official occasions. David is making this an official occasion. And you'll notice he... orders those certain people. This is the private, if you will, coronation, but he's going to make it public. When you hear the horn being blown, that's summoning the people. That's making it public. Now, this one he's doing because of Adonijah's attempted coup, attempted insurrection, his conspiracy. We read to you a reference last week when he did it again publicly, when they anointed Solomon. They said for the second time, remember? Well, this was the first time. But see, it was private until he said, now blow the horn. That's when you summons the assembly for a public acknowledgement that Solomon is now co-regent, king along with the living David.
Amen.
Who's on his way out, still living, but they were co-regent at the same time. David died some short time later, not long after this particular incident, in his 70th year. But he says here, call Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, which was the head of his personal bodyguard, some very valiant men who distinguished themselves before for bravery, and David made them his personal bodyguard. And the king also said to them, take with you the servants of the Lord, that is to say, others who work loyally for David.
And cause Solomon, my son, to ride upon mine own.
Why? That's saying, put him in my own car today. If we had it. What do they call the presidential thing? The beast? That thing that the president rides in? It would be tantamount to saying, let him ride in that to show he's the next president. That's what he's saying. When you rode on David's own personal mule, was David's way of saying, this is the official next king. That's what David is doing here. So he said, I want a priest and a prophet, as was done with King Saul, 1 Samuel 10:1, when Samuel anointed Saul, and 1 Samuel 16:13, when Samuel anointed David. Saul was both priest and prophet. Nathan wasn't both. Zadok wasn't both. So he said, get me a priest, get me the prophet. Samuel could be just one person. Samuel was a prophet of prophets. He was something else. Not one word he said fell to the ground, ever. He was something else. And so David is making sure it is known officially this thing was done the right way. Not some sneaky. Now, he did a, this is a private anointing, but you'll see when he makes it public. Yes, he says, let him ride on my own personal mule, if you will.
And bring him down to Gihon.
Now, Gihon is a spring. It was the main source of water for Jerusalem, by the way. And separating that from Engel, where Adonijah is celebrating his coronation, it was a bit of a hill that sort of separated it. Adonijah couldn't look and see what's going on, but you're going to see they're going to hear all this rejoicing. Boy, when you think you do it, you think you stand. So David said, take him down by Gihon.
And let Zadok.
Let Zadok the priest and
Nathan the prophet anoint him their king over Israel.
Now you see, that's a private anointing. Now, when does it become public?
And blow ye the trumpet.
Blowing the horn summons the assembly. This makes it a public occasion. But you see, the anointing was done privately. Now, when you blow the horn, you know, they would blow the ram's horn. That was when you summons the people. That was a summoning of the people. This made it public. Amen. He's telling them what to do. They didn't do it yet. He's telling them what to do. He said, then blow the horn and say, long live King Solomon. Then you shall come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne, and he shall be king in my place, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah. Mm-hmm. Now, you remember earlier it said that in verse 9, it says, and the men of Judah only, not all of Israel, of Judah acknowledged or looked to Adonijah, saw him as king. Here he says, David said, I want the whole country to know. So he says, Israel and Judah. Now, although it was one united kingdom then, clearly the boundaries were still very distinct, that northern part was considered Israel, although all the country is Israel, and the southern part was considered Judah and Benjamin, right? Now, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said,
amen.
Amen. Now, we know what amen means. I agree. So let it be. God has spoken. He's saying, I agree with you, O king. May the Lord God of my Lord, the king, say so too. Start at 35 again, please.
Then ye shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah.
Now Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said,
amen. The Lord God of my Lord, the king, say so too.
As the Lord has been with my Lord the king, even so may he be with Solomon and make his throne. Now this may sound like, it's not an insult. What parent in here doesn't want your children to do better than you? He is saying, may the Lord continue to bless you, King David, by making Solomon's throne and kingdom and reign even greater than yours. So it's not an insult. It's a blessing. As the Lord has been with my Lord the king, even so may he be with Solomon and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. And believe me, saints, it was Solomon's. I don't know what king can compare to the glory God gave Solomon.
Verse 38, 1 Kings chapter 1.
Now they're going to do what David just told them to do. So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Kerethites and the Pelethites. That's the names of the private bodyguards of David. The Kerethites and the Pelethites. They had distinguished themselves as brave fighting men in the past under David. So David says, these men can fight. These men are loyal. You all be my personal and official guard. They were called the Kerethites and the Pelethites. They went down under the direction of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. Yes?
And caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule.
They put Solomon on King David's mule. Everyone knew that that was David's mule. It had the right regalia and the robe, whatever it had on it. They knew he's riding on the king's horse.
Amen.
The king's mule. Half horse, half donkey. You know what a mule is, right? That's what they rode a lot back then. So David had Solomon to ride on his own personal mule.
And brought him to Gihon. And Zadok, the priest, took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the trumpet.
Now that tabernacle is not the tabernacle at Gibeon where Moses did all the worship. No, this is a tent that David constructed for the Ark of the Covenant, because the temple's not built yet. So he went and got the oil from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon.
And they blew the trumpet.
Now you bring in the public. Made it a public thing. They blew the horn. He's now the king. As David directed. Remember, David, I'm down but not out.
Amen.
So David gave instructions. Here's what you do. Those loyal to David did that. So Zadok, the priest, took the horn of oil from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the horn, that is this horn, the trumpet, the people to come. And all the people said, long live King Solomon. And the people went up after him. And the people played the flutes and rejoiced with great joy. Watch this, saints. So that the earth seemed to split with their sound.
Amen.
Now, were they making some noise? And just before we get to it, because the next portion is, be sure and your sins will find you out.
Amen.
That's when, that comes from Moses in Numbers 32:23, where Moses was telling the tribe of Gad. He said, now you all do your portion. When we get over here and fight these enemies, you do your portion. You all back out, be sure, and your sins will find you out.
Yes.
That is another way of saying, unchecked, unrepented, unacknowledged sin eventually catches up with you. All right, Adonijah, we got scripture for you here. Now, it says they made such a noise that the celebration was heard. Now, don't forget, Adonijah's in Engel. They're down at Gihon. I said that was the water source, a spring, a water source for Jerusalem. So the hill sort of separated them. So they can't see what's going on, but they could sure enough hear it. And the scripture says here, read in the Classical King James, the last part of 40. And earth seemed to split with their sound.
And so the earth rent with the sound of them.
Uh-huh. That means the celebration was so loud that it seemed like the earth would just crack. That's how much the people were rejoicing over Solomon is king. Long live the king. And they're down there celebrating and rejoicing. And it was so loud that while Adonijah was with his own party, his insurrectionist upstart party,
mm-hmm.
They were celebrating his coronation with all the sacrifices and eating and drinking and making merry. And the Lord, if you will, did a Numbers 32:23 on them. Be sure, and your sin will catch up to you, will find you out. Watch this.
Verse 41, and Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard it as they had made an end of eating.
As they had finished eating.
And when
understand something. Say, so party's going on now. Everybody's happy. God certainly knows how to break up a party, doesn't he? God said, I got a party of my own going on, if you will, because they're rejoicing over Solomon being coronated and being anointed and being made king. So you thought you were having a good time over there in Engel, Adonijah, would-be upstart insurrectionist king. The real king, by God's authority, and you're unable to annul what God has ordained. They're down by Gihon. They said, bring him on up from there. And all the people rejoicing so loud, it seems like the earth would want it to split.
Amen.
That's how much noise it was at this rejoicing of Solomon being king. So while they just finished eating and drinking and having a good old time.
And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said.
When Joab heard the sound of the horns, what's going on here?
Amen.
Now don't forget, Joab was David's top general over the army of Israel. Benaiah is his top man over his secret, of his private police, what he called a bodyguard. So while Joab he's king to be listening, he said, what's going on? I hear the horn.
Mm-hmm.
They're over here partying with this would-be Adonijah king. King Adonijah would be. He said, why is the city in such a noisy uproar?
Yes.
Verse 42.
And while he yet
while he was yet speaking. Lord has some awesome timing, doesn't he? So while he's asking the questions, what is all this noise? Why he didn't finish the sentence. It says, while he was speaking.
Behold, Jonathan, the son
of
Abiathar.
You can imagine, while he's saying, what's going on?
Yeah.
You see, Jonathan, the son of the
Abiathar, the priest.
The traitor priest, the Abiathar, who went against David,
came.
Went against the Lord's will, and anointed Adonijah,
yes.
His son named Jonathan. Comes in.
And Adonijah said unto him, come in, for thou art a valiant man, and bringest good tidings.
Now see, he's sitting on the throne. He says, come in, you're a good guy. So you're a good guy. You got to be bringing good news, right? He said, no. Watch what he says.
And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, verily, our Lord, King David has made Solomon king.
Boom. How's that? He said, I thought I was all of Israel's expectations upon me. Not so, me Lord.
That's right.
He said, by the way, the real king made Solomon the next king. Mm. Wow. Be sure.
That's right.
And your sin will find you out. Mm. How does that apply to you today? You keep on ignoring what God said shall be. He said, my people shall be a holy people.
44, and the king hath sent with him Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Joiada, and the Kerethites, and the Pelethites, and they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule.
Mm. Now, Jonathan, I don't think he's trying to rub it in. He's just letting them know, hey, man, I think we messed up over here. See, Jonathan is the son of Abiathar, the priest who went against David. So he broke in. He said, Adonijah, the prince Adonijah, who thinks he's now king, said, come in, you look like a good guy. You must have good news. What is it? He said, oh, no, they got Solomon riding on David's mule. They named him king. Everybody's saying, long live the king. Everybody's happy. That's what all that rejoicing is. That's what's going on. So Zadok, the priest, and Nathan, the prophet, anointed him king at Gihon and have gone up from there rejoicing so that the city is in an uproar. This is the noise that you've heard. That's what you're hearing. So I don't bring good news. I bring a reckoning from the Lord God, if you will. Carry on, verse 46.
And also, Solomon sits on the throne of the kingdom.
Isn't that something? He's telling him, David made Solomon to sit in David's seat while David still lives. David's lying in bed somewhere. And he said, go make Solomon sit right in my throne.
Yes, yes.
Is David making it clear? Yes. You can plan all you want, but as God has purposed, it shall stand.
May I go back to 46?
46, please.
And also Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, God make the name of Solomon better than thy name, and make his throne greater than thy throne. Mm. And the king bowed himself upon the bed. 48, and also thus saith the king, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which hath given you one to sit on my throne this day, mine eyes even seeing it.
So either David was standing or laying on the bed and then got up and got on his knees next to his bed and gave this blessing. He said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has given one to sit on my throne this day while my eyes see it. Do you see David constantly going back to thank God, going back to recognize how God brought him through all of his trials? Do you see this? And see, it's not being self-righteous. You can mutter it to yourself if you're in a place where you can't say it out loud. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.
49, and all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid.
No, you were partying. What are you afraid of? Adonijah's your king. Be sure.
Mm.
And your sin will find you out. And all the guests who were with Adonijah were afraid and arose.
Yes.
And they said, I'm with you, boss.
I'm out.
No, they didn't. They said, I'm out. Because they knew the jig was up.
Yes, sir.
You see?
Yes, sir.
When a man thinks he stands.
Mm.
And each one went his way. They ran. They see that what the Lord has ordained is standing. And they see Adonijah's attempted coup, insurrection, his conspiracy isn't working. So Adonijah was afraid now of Solomon. And he arose and went, took hold of the horns of the altar. Now, that goes back to Exodus 21:13, where if you inadvertently killed somebody or you did something wrong, you wanted mercy from God, you went and held onto the horns of the altar, putting yourself under the protection of God. He thought that would save him. Read on, please, because we have much more to go with this story, and I think next week we'll probably deal with it further. I think you'll enjoy it. Yes, give me Matthew, please. Now, listen, there comes a point where even though you're holding onto what you call the horns of the altar, metaphorically in your life, there comes a point where Jesus is going to say to all the insincere, get away from me, I never knew you. You can claim, I'm putting myself under your protection, Lord, it's too late now. Here comes a circumstance when it's too late. So he puts himself on the horns of the altar, and it was told King Solomon, saying, indeed, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon, for look, well, behold, he has taken a hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me this day that he will not put his servant. Now he's his servant. to death with the sword. Before, I am king. Adonijah wanted to be in charge. Now he wants mercy. Swear to your servant. That's a way of putting yourself under Solomon's authority, saying, I recognize you as king. What he is doing now is what some people do when the cops actually catch them, or when your parents actually... Now, I'm sorry. No, you're sorry you got caught. You're not sorry for what you did. You're sorry you got caught. And we're going to show you, Lord, perhaps next week, Lord willing, we'll show you how he was sorry for what for getting caught, not what he did. Anyway, he says, swear to me that you will not kill me with the sword this day. I like Solomon. Now, Solomon here reminds me of Jesus, depart from me, I never knew you. That's why I call this section, depart from me. Now you want mercy. This reminds me, and keep this in mind, of Matthew 7:21-23. I'll just refer to it. When he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Because people say, Lord, Lord, we did this, we love you, we did this. Get away from me. Solomon does a similar thing by saying, man, go home. Watch this as we conclude here. Then Solomon said,
If
he shows himself worthy,
there shall not be an hair of him fall to the earth.
Meaning he won't be hurt at all, right?
But if wickedness shall be found in
him. Keep that in mind for when we next meet you, when we continue with the story. If wickedness is found in him.
He shall die.
He shall die. That was sort of prophetic. I'll just put that out there. Yes?
So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar.
So Solomon said, okay, tell him to get off the altar. If he acts, if he's worthy, I'm not going to kill him. If he's wicked, showing wickedness, he shall die. Mm-hmm. So they went and said, Solomon said, you can come see him. Yes?
And he came and bowed himself to King Solomon.
Now he's bowing before King Solomon. What does Solomon say?
Solomon said to him, go to thine house.
You want to know what the equivalent is? Man, get out of here. Now, it wasn't that crude, but it was more kingly. Go to your house. Go home. The story isn't over there. Doesn't end yet. I want you to tune in next time, as they say. Now, what do we learn? What do we glean from this? What God has purposed, it shall stand. Don't be arrogant. Know your place. Don't presume. What else have we learned from here? Be sure you keep on sinning with unchecked sin. It'll catch up to you. And there are times when you might be down, but you're not quite out. If you're on the Lord's side and the right side. And don't forget this too. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. God bless you all. Peace be unto you. I'll talk to you next time. God bless you. Get home safely.
The preceding program originated from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on Apostolic Square at 22nd and Bainbridge Streets. Bishop Omega, Apostle and General Overseer. Sunday worship begins at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Write to Bishop Omega at Post Office Box 3880, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19146. You may access the replay of this broadcast by dialing into Audio Now at 641-793-4507. That's 641-793-4507. On behalf of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, Bishop Omega wishes you the peace, love, and joy of Christ always.